Isaiah chapter 49. The title of the message, God will not forget you. God will not forget you. He said, I will not. I will not forget thee. Isn't that comforting? No matter how dark things may seem to us, God says, I will not forget you. In the previous chapter, 48, God had been speaking to Israel. He spoke to them, look over in chapter 48, verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. And he points out their sins and their captivity in Babylon. And toward the end of the chapter, he tells them how he's going to deliver them. He says, go forth of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. And we do it so with the voice of singing, because I'm going to deliver you. You're going to come out of that captivity. And then here in chapter 49, he turns and he speaks to us. He's speaking to us, Gentiles. And he says here in verse 1, listen, as I told you in the Bible class, listen. Are you interested? Did you come here this morning with an interest in hearing from God? Did you? He says, listen. When we read the Word of God, it is God speaking. There's no difference in God speaking through His Word, through the reading of His Word, than God Himself in Christ standing here speaking. When Christ was in the flesh speaking, He's the Word of God. When He spoke, God spoke. And when we read the Word of God, it's like we were back in the study and Bill read from Psalm 135. As he read from Psalm 135, verse by verse, that's God speaking. It's not just Bill reading. It's not just me reading. It's God speaking. I can't emphasize that enough. That's why our Lord said, take heed how you hear. For with what measure you meet it with, it shall be measured to you again. Listen, O Gentiles, unto me and hearken. Give me your attention. You people from far. You who were strangers and far off, as it says in Ephesians 2. The Lord hath called me from the womb. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he's telling us something here. Us Gentiles. He's saying the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing one, hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. Hath he made mention of my name? A virgin shall conceive. A child shall be born. My name has been mentioned. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And here's what he's saying is, listen, God's speaking good news to sinners. For 4,000 years, this wasn't preached to the Gentiles. Good news was not sent to the Gentiles. But now he's saying it is. It's going to be sent to the Gentiles. You know, we learn most when we listen. That's why God said, be still and know that I'm God. This message of salvation that shall be given to the Jews from Babylon. Over in chapter 48. Is he's speaking here that there's going to be a far greater salvation than that, than just being delivered from the Babylonians. You know, he's speaking to their deliverance from the Babylonians. He said, but there's a far greater, look at the big picture. There's a far greater, bigger picture to look at in this matter of salvation. God's going to save sinners throughout the whole world. He made it. You know, God created man upon this earth. And from that man, Adam, came the whole population of the earth. And God's going to save sinners out of all nations and tongues and tribes. And he's going to save sinners. God's purpose has always been to save sinners in Christ throughout the whole world. That's always been his purpose. And his commission here, listen, he called me. You know that Jesus Christ is the first one called. He called me and he's called us, all you who believe. He's called us in Christ. He called us in Christ, but Christ is the first called. God called him to this work. He's called us to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ was called to the work, the Son of God. He was called to accomplish a work. And he says, from the womb. Listen, first of all, from the womb of eternity. You know, we know eternity has no beginning. That's why it's called eternity. But back there, beyond any comprehension on our part, he says, I was called. I was set up. That's from everlasting. That's what he says in Proverbs 8. I was set up from everlasting. Set up to be the Redeemer, the Mediator, the Surety, the Savior of sinners. Called from the womb of eternity. Called to be the servant of God. Jesus Christ came into this world. The Son of God came into this world, took upon him flesh, and he became God's servant. He served God. He's the perfect servant. He served him willingly. Our will is not perfect. If our will was perfect, we wouldn't be disappointed when things don't go our way. Now, we make plans and they don't go our way and we're upset and we're just frustrated. Our Lord was never that way because he perfectly submitted to the will of God. I wish we were, but someday we will be when sin is gone. But he's the perfect servant, and he's God's servant. He came to serve. He said he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what he came to do. And then he says there in verse 2, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. They said, never a man spake like this man. They said, he doesn't speak like one of the scribes. He speaks with authority. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the Word of God. In the flesh. But he's God's Word. And when he spoke with authority. And when his word went forth from his mouth, hearts were pierced. My words can affect you. My words can affect you. You know, words can be powerful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, no. Words won't hurt me. Oh, they hurt more than sticks and stones. I'm telling you, words hurt far more than sticks and stones. You can get over a bruise. You can, a broken arm can be healed by someone hit you with a stick. But a word spoken in with evil intent, a word spoken in harshness can never be forgotten. Except by the grace of God. It cuts to the heart. But now when our Lord speaks, he can pierce the heart and lay it wide open. He can reveal what's going on in the heart that you and I can't see each other's heart, but He sees it. You know, the Scripture says in over in Hebrews that His Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. Dividing asunder. And He says here, He hid me. In the shadow of His hand, He hid me. Our Lord was hid in types and in pictures for a long time. He was hid. We looked at Ephesians, I believe, last week. He was, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was hid, He says, from ages. It was hid from ages. He hid me in types and pictures, and He protected me with His hand. In the shadow of His hand, I was protected. Herod tried to kill Him. He killed, listen, all the two-year-olds. That were two-year-olds and under. He had them killed. Can you imagine that? He didn't realize it, and it was painful. And they wept, and there was a great lament that went up. But you know, those two-year-olds, they went to glory. He killed them because he's trying to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then many of the Jews tried to kill him along the way. But they couldn't do it because he said, "My hour has yet come. Mine hour is not yet come." He hid me and He protected me. And He said to me, "Thou art my servant, O Israel." And He's speaking here to the Lord. You know what Israel means? Prince of God. That's who Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of God. He's it. O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. He's God's servant. And like Israel, He hath power with God. He said, "Father, I know You always hear me. I know You always hear me." In Christ, God the Father will be glorified in His life of obedience, in His death, their satisfaction, and in His final glory. Every knee's going to bow to Him, and every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then said I, and this seems out of place, but it's not. Then said I, He said, "I've labored in vain." He said, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing. It's all in vain. But yet," He said, "yet surely my judgment's with the Lord and my work is with my God. But I've labored in vain." Is this the Lord speaking? Is this the Lord? If you take His time on earth, you take His ministry there in Jerusalem, very few believed. Very few believed. The most of them stood there in that crowd saying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." They all turned on Him. He wept over Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And He wept over Jerusalem. Outward appearance, it looks that way. But He says, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. "My judgment's with the Lord and my work is with my God. I'm successful. My work is successful. God will vindicate me. God will be the judge of His work. And He will vindicate me." Our work in the Lord and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is never, ever in vain. Never in vain. You know, if I was to go somewhere, let's say I was called as a missionary to go to Africa or China or, you know, North Korea or someplace, and one person, God saved one person, What a successful ministry. What a successful ministry. That one, what if you're that one person? What if you are that one person? You'd say, it was a success because God saved me. And now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb. The manhood, the human nature of Jesus Christ was formed of God. The son was given, it says in Isaiah, the son was given, the child was born. There's a time when the manhood of Christ did not exist, but there's never a time that Christ, the Son of God, did not exist. That's so. But he formed me in the womb to be his servant, right from the beginning to be his servant. No greater station in life, no greater position in life was ever honored than when Jesus Christ was made a servant of God. That's the greatest honor ever put upon any position, station in life, to be as the servant of God, is when the Lord Jesus Christ became a servant. To be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. For the most part, as I said, when he was on this earth, most of Israel was lost. You know, when they came out of Egypt, how many went into the promised land from the original group? Two. Just two. Those 20 years old and younger went into the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb were the only two of that original group that went in. But he says here, yet, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. Because that's his son. That's God's son. Don't judge his work by feeble sense or outward appearance. He's glorious in the eyes of the Lord. And I tell you what, when this is all over, there's going to be a multitude there in heaven, saved by Jesus, saved by that one man, Jesus Christ, that no man can number. No man can number. And he said here in verse 6, now this is God speaking to him, speaking to Christ, God the Father speaking to him. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I'll give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. What does he mean, it's a light thing? He's saying here, God the Father speaking to his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a light thing that Israel should be delivered from the Babylonians. It's a light thing for God to deliver me out of any trouble on this earth. It's a light thing for God to deliver Israel from a bunch of clay pots. That's all they are. They're just men. That's all they are. They're just men. It's not a difficult matter for God to deliver us out of earthly troubles. But now he's going to lift our sights above this earth. And he's saying, it's a light thing, it's an easy thing just to deliver from temporal troubles. But here's the great thing. Here's the greatness of salvation. He's going to deliver men and women all over this earth from the wrath of God, from the hands of justice. You know, God's law got you. It's got me. It had us. It legally had us. We were criminals. We were born criminals. You know that? People try to, you know, you try to teach your kids to not do this, do that, to keep them on this side of the law so they'll stay out of trouble, stay out of jail. But we're born criminals. against God. We're born with a natural enmity against God. We have a natural aversion to God, a natural hatred of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us from God by saving us from our sins, our death, and our natural hatred of God. Isn't that sad that we are such a mess? That God Himself, and He's the only one who could save us from Himself and ourselves. God's the only one that can do that. And then He says here, I'll give thee for a light to the Gentiles. He is the light of God's glory. We see it when we see Him. We don't see God's glory. We don't understand salvation until we really see Jesus Christ. We do not see God's righteousness till we see Him. We don't see sin till we see Him. You can't understand sin until you have some understanding of who God is. You can't do it. No more than you can see what's in a room when the lights are turned off, when it's pitch dark, and the lights are completely turned off. You can't see what's in that room. But when the light is turned on, you can see all the furniture. You can see the dust on the furniture. You can see that somebody hasn't cleaned the house. You can see all of that. You can see it. And that's what happens when God saves you. You see sin. You see sin as sin. You don't see sin as mistakes. You don't see them as bad habits. You see sin as an evil. You see sin, this is what I am. Don't just say, Lord, don't just save me from what I have done, but from what I am. You know, I ask God all the time. I do. I ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins and to enable me to overcome this sinful nature that I still have. Indwelling sin. Overcome indwelling sin. It's one thing to be forgiven of sins, but it's another thing to overcome indwelling sin. And that takes the power of God. And when did you see that? When you looked into the face of Jesus Christ, who is the light. He's the light. In thy light shall we see light. Is scriptural. He that walks in the light shall not walk in darkness. If you walk in the light, you walk in the light of God's word, you walk in the light of revelation, you are not going to walk in darkness. You're not going to do it. It is totally impossible. It is impossible to walk in darkness with your eyes open and the light shining. You go outside right now, your eyes, you got sight. It is an impossibility to walk in darkness. The light's shining and you can see. You got to be blind. You got to be completely blind to walk in darkness. And spiritually, that's how we are until God gives us light. Until we see. And He said, I'll give you as a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be, listen, my salvation. Not just salvation. You are my salvation to my people. This is so clear that my salvation is a person. My salvation is Jesus Christ. God has become my salvation in the person of His Son. And that man, Jesus Christ, God's become my salvation. He is salvation itself. He bought it. He gives it. It's all in Him. All of it. And it's far reaching. It's far reaching unto the end of the earth. Unto the end of the earth. There's no place on this globe that's not going to be unaffected by the gospel. God's going to send it everywhere. The good news is going to go out. It's going to go over this whole world. I mean, there's people, and I've told you this before, but there's people from China, and I've had it from North Korea. Listen to the message that you're listening to this morning. People in all different countries listen to the a message that you're listening to this morning when it goes on the internet. All over the world. All over the world. There's no part of this earth that is too dark where God's grace can't reach, can't penetrate. You know, it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know what that means? The darkness overcame it not. It did not overcome the light. There's never been an instance where darkness actually overcame light. Light overcomes darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. But as soon as a light turns on, darkness is gone. And when God sends the gospel in power, darkness has to flee. It has to. I don't want to be guilty of trying to limit God. There's no one that God can't save if He would purpose to save. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and His Holy One, there in verse 7. And the Holy One, to Him whom man despises, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, He was despised. He's hated and despised of men. To Him whom the nations abhor, to a servant of rulers. You know what he means, servant of rulers? He when he came into this world, he's God's servant. But remember when they came and said, does your master pay taxes? What did he do? He paid taxes. He actually bowed to the rules of Pilate and that Roman Empire. He was a servant to them. In other words, he obeyed those civil laws. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that's faithful and the Holy One of Israel. He shall choose thee. That one who was despised and rejected of men, he submitted to Pilate. He shall rule and be mighty on the earth. You know, it looks pretty bleak right now, doesn't it? When you look out, you know, you look out over the landscape of this earth and you see what, you know, what goes on. It looks pretty bleak. But we have God's word on it that the Lord Jesus Christ shall reign. He does reign. He is reigning. He shall reign. And all are going to bow to Him. Even the kings of the earth, the mighty men. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In the day of salvation have I helped thee. When our Lord prayed, He was heard. In the garden of Gethsemane, He was heard. God sent angels to minister to Him. In the wilderness, He was heard. He was heard. He said, I'll preserve thee. I'll keep thee. God kept that man, Jesus Christ. I thought that man's God. He is. He's God of man. But that man was kept of God. And listen, I'll give you for a covenant of the people. You know, we think of a covenant. What do we normally think of? We think of a document, don't we? We think of a written document. Well, I'll tell you something. The covenant of grace with God's people is Jesus Christ. And that document is written on His heart. It's written on His heart. He's the covenant. I'll give thee as a covenant of the people. And not only will I give thee as a covenant of the people, I'll give thee a covenant of the people to establish the earth. This earth would have been gone a long time ago if it were not for this covenant that God made with Christ concerning the people. and I'll cause to inherit the desolate heritages. I'll make. And what he's saying, his work will be successful. Nobody going to perish for whom Jesus Christ died for. That's not even possible. God will not condemn an innocent man or an innocent woman. In Christ, you're innocent. All for whom he died, they're innocent. And that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways of God, and their pasture shall be in all high places. The great liberator is Jesus Christ. We value freedom very highly. I know we do. But there is none free, truly free, except those whom the Son sets free. Now you're free. Now you're free. I don't think we've ever really grabbed hold of that. I don't know that we've really ever really grabbed hold of what it is to be free from condemnation, from the power of sin, free to go into the presence of God. We're free. He's the great liberator. And they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat of the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them, he'll lead them. Like a shepherd, he'll lead them. He said, My blood is drink indeed, and my body is food indeed. I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. He's the water of life. You know, we can drink of Christ. We can drink water today, you know, for our bodies. We can eat today. We're still going to die. You know that? Eat healthy. Eat healthy as you can. You're still going to die. You know, I want to eat healthy. I'm trying to. It's not easy. It's not easy. No more than it is easy to walk the life of a believer, because we still have a sinful appetite that's with us. I was thinking this morning, and you know, that how our natural appetite is like our sinful appetite. It always goes after the sweet stuff. It goes after the Twinkies. It doesn't go after the broccoli, does it? It doesn't go after broccoli and carrots, and it goes after the candy bars and the sweet stuff and the junk food and the Pepsis. And I was thinking this morning, you know, how that is so much like our spiritual, like our life here is spiritually. We still have that nature, that appetite that wants all that junk stuff. But our Lord said that you'll not hunger nor thirst. That is, you won't die of hunger and thirst. Spiritually, you'll never die. You will not die. You're going to go be with the Lord, who's our meat and our drink. And I'll make all my mountains away. My highway shall be exalted. No temptation will overtake you. I'll make all my mountains. The walk of faith is never going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. And you see these TV preachers living the victorious life, just speak the life, just tell the devil to be gone. And yeah, right. You don't realize he's got you. The walk of faith is never easy, but God says this, I'll make all my mountains away. Did he not say that with every temptation, I will, with that temptation, make a way out? I'll make a way through the mountain, around the mountain, over the mountain, or I'll remove the mountain. And my highway shall be exalted. Behold, he said, these shall come from afar. They'll come to Christ. They'll come from the north, from the west. They'll come from all over. God's going to gather his people from all parts of this globe. He's going to gather them. Not one will be forgotten. He said, I will not forget you. You know, one time when I was a little boy, we'd been to church, and Mom and Dad, they got home with, they started with 7 kids. They got home with 6. They left me. They forgot me. They forgot they had 7. It didn't take a head count when we got in the car. And they had to go back and get me. God said, I will not forget you. I'll not forget you. His thoughts, David said, his thoughts of us cannot be reckoned up in order. And here's such good news, and I'll hurry up here. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted from all over the world. All over the world. God's people have a reason to be happy. Creation has a reason to be happy because God is going to save them. God's going to save them. But Zion said, the Lord's forsaken me. Isn't that amazing? God says, sing. We said, what do we have to sing about? I'm in trouble. I lost my job. I'm sick. I've got a real sickness. I've got real heartaches going on right now. What do I have to sing about? Well, first of all, they're temporary. Every trial has an end. Every trial has an end. And he says here, or it says here, Zion says, the Lord's forsaken me. My Lord's forgotten me. No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. The very fact you have trials is evidence that he hasn't forgotten you. He chastens those whom he loves. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they have been found in trash cans. That is human nature. They have been left on doorsteps and found in trash cans, but God said, that won't happen with you. No matter how far we may fall, like a David with a Bathsheba and the murdering of her husband, God said, I will not forsake you. Like that baby was cast into a field. It grew up and she became a harlot. God didn't forsake her. He said, I made a covenant with you and I won't break it. I won't forsake you. It says in the scriptures, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. To the end. Behold, he said, I've graven you upon the palms of my hand. You know what? You know what that is? That's those nail holes. Right there in his hands. This is for you. This is for you. This hole here in my side, this is for you. I'll not forget you. You think if I did that, you think if I had 2 holes in my hand, and because he told Thomas, here, put your hand, finger, put it into my side. It was still open. It was still open. I don't believe there's scars there. I don't believe there's scars. I believe they're open. He said, put your hand in there, into my side. Put your hand in the holes of my hand, your fingers. I've engraven you upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Let me close with verse 26. That I'll feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. I'm your Lord, and I'll not forget you. I've redeemed you. I died for you. I live for you. I'm coming for you. And I'm sure not going to forget you. All right.